our TSN hockey analyst, Dave Poulin. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Doing very well, guys. I'm having to be at the top of my game. I got a major trade here to digest. I got a lot going on in the golf world I'm trying to figure out. And I've got the Stanley Cup final still pressing. So you have to be really sharp early on a Wednesday morning with everything going on.
Absolutely. Let's get a quick thought from you, because you are a huge golfer and golf fan. And like everybody who's kind of emotionally invested in the sport, what was your level of surprise, A, to the news of yesterday of the merger, and what do you make of it all?
I was as shocked as the players were, and I had a chance. I was in the car, and so I had a chance to listen to Sirius Radio, and the guys, Colton Nost, does a great job there with that late morning show, and they were literally calling his buddies and golfers, and they were finding out for the first time. And so Stewart Cink, like big guys, and Scott Stallings, and they agreed to come on the radio not knowing anything, like nothing. So it was as raw an emotion. And it was reminiscent to me, guys, of the through the 80s, the labor situations we dealt with and the lockouts that we dealt with, because the lack of communication then went, like, all the information went to one player rep, and then it was up to him to call the guys on the team and let them know what was going on. And talk about feeling like we were in the dark. And even in 93, when we were with you, Simmer, in Washington, we would, you know, now some guys chose not to even live there at that point. They were still at their summer homes. If you had kids, they were in school, so you were there through the fall. And we would get together in the morning, not knowing at all what was coming in the call. About were we going to work, were we not going to work, would we go to the gym, would we go to the golf course, what would happen? And there'd be like eight of us huddled around a call waiting to see what happened. That's what it felt like, but it's 2023, and it felt like the news coming out yesterday was so shocking to that group, and the players only meeting in Oakdale would have been fascinating, guys. And there's still so much more to come out here on what the situation is, but the commissioner himself, I think what is coming out is that he's the CEO of the new entity. And by the way, it's an LLC, guys. So that poises its limited liability corporation. It's not a not-for-profit organization. So this poses as potentially, this could be a public company that they've created. So there's a lot of information still coming out. So, and I will get over to the Canadian Open at some point and absorb some of the actual golf going on in Toronto.
Yeah, and we're going to hear from Rory McIlroy apparently in a little over an hour or so from now. That's, I think, the one person in all of this that everybody's most keen to hear. All right, let's turn our attention to hockey. And before we get to your thoughts on where we're at with the Stanley Cup final, as you said, you're digesting a pretty significant trade yesterday, a three-way trade in which Columbus ends up with Provorov, Philadelphia ends up with Futures, and LA ends up with cap space. Am I simplifying things too much, or is that the deal?
No, you are exactly dead on with that. And so it's a preview of what LA is going to be able to do with that money. And they've already, you know, it looks like they'll renew Gavrikov, so their defense position. They did have a surplus of defense. That was the Sean Walker coming out, you know, a serviceable 28-year-old. For Philly, I think this is really significant. There's a couple parts of this, guys. Let's start in Columbus, because theirs is the cleanest. They get a first, they get Provorov. There was always in that draft a Provorov bent to Mike Babcock when he was in Toronto. Apparently that was the D that he really liked in that draft, and they would have taken in Martin. There was a lot of talk about Hanifin that Toronto liked. You know, they needed a defenseman. They ended up taking Marner, which looks obviously like the right choice. But Provorov was taken in that same draft. And so Babcock ends up with him. Now, I say Babcock ends up with him because, just in a little side digression here, I think there are going to be a lot of trades. We've talked about that. The UFA market is thin. I think there's going to be significant trades and trading partners through this next stretch, through the draft and through early July. I think coaches are going to be involved in this situation. I think Babcock would clearly have been involved yesterday if he did, in fact, like Provorov. I think John Tortorella's got his stamp on this in a big way with a rookie president and a rookie GM. So I think he's got a big stamp in this. We're hearing that Mike Sullivan, that in this new Pittsburgh configuration, I've told you from day one, I think that Kyle Dubas does maintain a share of the GM seat. Mike Sullivan has his stamp on Pittsburgh apparently moving forward. And a guy trying to get in the league, Patrick Waugh, got out of the league because he wanted a bigger stamp on player personnel. So that's kind of a trend I think we're going to see more of in a coach when he's negotiating, is he's going to want power in player personnel.
I was going to say, based on so much video being done over the years, Pooley, are the coaches more in touch with the actual players nowadays than maybe they were 30 years ago?
I think they'll argue that, and it's not why I wouldn't want them involved in the conversation, like in the final say. It's because of their emotional attachment to the players and the fact that you've been in a coach's office, Simmer, after a game when the coach is trying to trade nine guys because he's so mad at them. And you can't have that. Now, do I want a coach's input? Absolutely. But I still have to have final say. It can't be a coach who's constructing a hockey team because he doesn't see teams as much as, and video doesn't do it as much as guys sitting in the stands. So I think this is a kickoff to a lot that's going to happen, guys, a lot. And in Philly restocking, they get a first rounder and a couple second rounders out of it. And you're exactly right the way you broke it down. LA poised short term to get cap space and go with it. And I think this is just the start of it. I really do. I think there's going to be a market there like we haven't seen in the last couple of years.
With Provorov and now rumors about Hart, is this a clear sign Philly is really going into the true rebuild, almost like we saw here in Ottawa?
It is. And they've said it's the way they've termed it, they didn't say it wasn't a rebuild or a retool. They said it's not a fire sale. And there's a difference, right? And they're selling. And I think it is going to be a little bit of scorched earth there, which very intriguing to see how a John Tortorella would handle that. But obviously, I think he's got a stamp on this trade, guys. I do. I think he's got a guy in Provorov who they didn't think was happy in Philadelphia, and they moved him out of there.
Where you're at with Carter Hart? There was a time when he came into the NHL when he, a lot of people thought this is the best young goalie prospect in the game. It's been kind of a roller coaster for him in Philly. The team hasn't been very good for a lot of it as well. If you are a team that was in the market for a goaltender, would he be a player you'd go after, even though the price may be significant?
He would absolutely be a player I would go after. And this is back to the article I wrote maybe 2 or 3 months ago about goaltenders and how hard it is to draft and develop them, along with your timing of when you think you're going to be good, and how you're as well off to just time your good team and then go out and find a goalie. And, you know, if we look at the goalies that have had success even this year in the final eight of the Stanley Cup playoffs, they're all guys that were acquired in some fashion other than arguably Jake Oettinger and Stuart Skinner. And everybody else was acquired in some sort of trade or free agency or that according to the timing of where your team is at. You know, if you'd say Ottawa right now is coming up on the cusp of something that could be significantly, you know, in a winning way for their team, and you would say, okay, could we draft a really good goaltender this year? There's a great prospect. He's on your table in the first round. He lines up with the number of pick that you have. When is he going to be ready? 4 years from now, 5 years from now, that doesn't fit exactly what you want to do with this team. So that's where I think, you know, you'd look if you were, would I be interested in Carter Hart? Absolutely. 24 years old, enough of a pedigree, enough balance. He's played 200 games in the NHL, guys. He's only 24 years old, and that's very young. And I've seen enough that I would say, would I be interested in exactly the model that I talked about acquiring a goalie for the timing in my team? Carter Hart would be very high on the list.
Carter Hart was a member of the 2018 World Junior Team for Canada that we obviously know still remains under investigation. Do you believe that if and when any trade happens for him, it will have to be that no team would trade for him until that whole issue is solved and we find out what the NHL, what police are going to do in that case?
I believe that is close to being resolved, so it may be a moot point because I believe that the league has completed their investigation and is going to come forward with that investigation very soon. So it may be a moot point, but it could be a factor, JR, yes.
Pooley, on Carter Hart, 1 year, and then he's a restricted free agent. Are you comfortable giving him a long-term deal at, I guess, north of $6 million or whatever he fits in? Because I'm assuming if you're making that trade, you're giving up a lot, and I'm assuming you're going to want to lock him up.
You are, and I think right now it could still be a little bit on your terms, Simmer. Yeah. he's at a point right now. I mean, he was one game under 500 last year with a shaky Philadelphia team. There, he had his moments, but it might be a good time to lock him up. You know, it might be a time where, you know, you could use it in your favor and say, we have a player right now that may look at and value, you know, a security much different than he would have, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago when everybody thought he was going to be a Carey Price type of goaltender.
You mentioned that you think this is going to be a very busy month and maybe a busy summer for trades. Is part of the reasoning for that the general, you mentioned a thin UFA group, but also that other general managers will look at, it's a copycat league. You got Vegas that has never hesitated to make trades and big moves. You got Florida that, you know, traded a 115-point player and also a really good defenseman in Kenzie Weegar and a first-rounder and brought Matthew Tkachuk back. You got those two teams playing in the final. And the general managers would look and go, you know, you can stand pat all you want and hope that it gets better, or you can just be bold and make a trade. Do you think that other general managers are seeing what's happened with Vegas and Florida and thinking, maybe I should be thinking that way too?
Yes, I do. I do. And you can talk about draft and develop, and it's got to be a portion of it. And if you're looking at what would be the standard, build a corporation on a chair with four legs, and you need all four of the legs to be equal strength. Draft and develop, absolutely one of the components. But because of the timing of draft and development and the uncertainty of when a player is going to come to fruition, you can't solely rely on that. You simply can't. You have to inject, in order to maximize your draft and develop players, you have to inject the right amount of leadership and experience, and look no further than Claude Giroux and the timing of what he might have done for Timmy Stutzler or Josh Norris or whomever, or Brady Tkachuk, for that matter, bringing another cat into the room. So you need all four of those legs, JR, to be significant. It's not balanced. That it's not a tripod chair, and it's not. You need trades. You need draft and develop. You need free agents. You need all of the components in order to make a team in the Stanley Cup right now. And if you break down, you know, from the six players taken in the expansion draft to Vegas and the fact that they've sustained, you know, for six full years, so there's some consistency there in their group. But even Mark Stone's been there 4.5 years now. So, you know, those guys, that's a group that has been built by a hockey mind in Kelly McCrimmon and certainly a hockey mind in George McPhee. And that's the way it's got to happen, I believe. It's not solely one avenue that you take right now to be successful in the NHL.
How many owners are asking that question, Pooley? Why is Seattle so good so quick? We're going through all this draft and development and all these lottery picks, and teams like Edmonton and Toronto haven't won squat.
Well, it's a clean slate theory, and that's what, you know, teams would try and do, right? That's what Toronto tried to do, was clean the slate down to as close to, you know, in 2015, as close to an expansion model as you could get. Now, you don't have the benefit of being able to take the, you know, sixth or seventh best player from each team, but you do have a clean slate. And the clean slate's an important part of this equation. And you look at Vegas and you look at Seattle, and it's a clean slate. And then you go out. And by the way, Seattle's been pretty aggressive in the trade market as well. You think of guys like Bjorkstrand and free agency with Barakovsky. They've added to that mix of that original year already and will continue to do so.
There's lots of talk that Alex DeBrincat is potentially a trade chip for Ottawa, be it now, be it in the summer, maybe into next season. If the best trade for Alex DeBrincat is in division, and you know, he's from Michigan guy, a lot of people say Detroit, but whatever, if the best trade is in division, do you have any hesitation in trading him in division?
Yeah, I'd have to know a little bit more about what's coming back, but no, I don't. If I'm going to make the best deal for my hockey team, I'm not worried about that. I'm not. And, you know, providing it's the best offer that I'm presented with.
Yeah.
And I think you've got to get by that. I think that's what holds up a lot of trades, JR, is the fear. You have to have enough confidence in your group to say what we're bringing back fits our hockey team better. It may not be a better player. It may be a different player that fits our hockey team better for what we want to do. You have to have the confidence to do it, and with the trading partner that is the trading partner, not according to where they're situated geographically.
The sign and trade, or the kind of one for one pooling, I go back to Hossa for Heatley, very difficult to do. Is the more likely scenario, if they're selling off DeBrincat now, is that they're getting futures back with the hope they can turn around and use those futures to augment the team right now?
Well, maybe multi-team deal. man, we just watched a deal with Columbus and LA and Philly that worked because there was a third team involved that needed cap space, right? That's the only reason it worked. And so it may be a multi-team situation, Simmer, that makes that happen. Or simultaneous trade, where I trade with you, then I trade with somebody else and not even call it a three-way deal. You know, might be separated by a little bit of time, but it might be in the hopper before the first deal is made. So, yes, and that's the communication part. I think that's so important, and why GMs spend as much time on the phone as they do, because there's always a seed planted. I'm asking about a guy 3 years before I think I might be able to trade for him. I just am, you know, and I'm always letting people know that I'm interested in that person. If, and it's always qualified, right? Oh, he's not available, JR. But hey, by the way, if you're ever trading Zimmer, mm-hmm. you know, I know that I might be interested in acquiring him.
Zimmer's always on the table.
Yeah. JR doesn't know. I know she didn't know trade. Don't even come to me.
I didn't dare ask for Hammer. I'm smarter than that.
Oh, man.
All right. Stanley Cup final resumes tomorrow night. Vegas is up 2-0 after a pretty lopsided game 2 victory. Is the series over? It's just a matter of games or what?
I don't think so. I think there's been enough in Florida. They did have to catch their breath, clearly. They've got to clean some stuff up. They've got to clean up the rush, guys. They've got to clean up what Vegas has been able to do on the rush, and that's through the neutral zone. They have to tighten up through the neutral zone. But, you know, we'll know pretty early in game 3, I think. But I don't think it is. I think they can dial it up and make a series of it. Vegas looks so good and so deep. And you know, when we talked before the series, I said Vegas is the better team. But Florida has to somehow find a way to recreate the magic that made a lot of teams pick them before the series started. Right now, it's not magic. It's just not. It looks like a team that's grasping. And taking bad penalties early to start is everything for them tonight and in their home building. And they can't take a penalty 7 minutes in. You know, they can't. A needless retaliation penalty, and that's what that was. Simply a retaliation penalty, and all of a sudden they're down 1-0. They can't do that. They have to be tight from a discipline standpoint.
Isn't it funny, though, Pooley? I mean, come on. The highlights from Boston, from Toronto, Carolina, almost all those chances Bob were making were off odd man rushes going
Absolutely.
From his left to right. Like, are the Florida, I guess my question, are the Florida Panthers really doing anything different, or are they just not getting the saves?
Oh, I don't think they're playing as effectively as they were. They were getting the saves, but I don't think they were.
There were a lot of great chances that he made saves on.
There were, but it wasn't flowing as easily through the middle of the ice and up ice. And I think that's what I'm alluding to, the fact that, you know, I mean, it has to be a little bit slower pace or a more aggressive forecheck that keeps Vegas in their end a little bit more.
Two keys for Florida getting as far as they have. One was Bobrovsky that you guys have talked about. The other has been Matthew Tkachuk. In your estimation through the first two games, has he been sidetracked maybe a little too much with message sending, face washing, punching guys in the head, etc., and not enough about kind of the offensive side of the game? Or is it just not working right now and he just should continue as is?
Vegas's credit, it's not working, but they lay a foundation early in a series that has a cumulative effect, and they haven't been able to do that. They simply haven't. Like, no one's wondering if Sam Bennett's going to run them over. And I think in the other series, there was a cumulative effect, particularly in Toronto, that you know, those guys got hit so much early, they didn't want to get hit anymore. And that hasn't happened. It simply hasn't. And so I think that, you know, Tkachuk has not been the timely performer he has been through the playoffs, but there's other, you can point all the way around the board. Montour has been, from an offensive standpoint, was such a factor early, particularly against Boston. I mean, he was a monster. You know, at one point, I think he had 9 points in 8 games, and I think he's got 9 points right now, right? So it's just quieted down for him. And there were so many different things working in Florida's favor. And, you know, they're not deep enough to lose a Lewis Drainen. And you might say, come on, Lewis Drainen is a third-line player. But he balanced out the third line. He let Ryan Lomborg play on the fourth line. Lomborg is not a third-line player. Now you start moving pieces around and you can see, okay, it's not as effective.
Not the biggest D crew in Florida and certainly not the most physical. How much of a loss will Gudas be, Pooley, if he's out?
Enormous, both mentally and physically, for that group. Because when you look at the right side of the D, Simmer, and you said, okay, you know, oh geez, you know, I got to worry about Ekblad. He's 6'4". He's not a crushing physical player, but he can go offensively. So I'm aware of where he is. Next shift up, Montour. Where is he? He's all over the ice. I got to skate. I got to cover defensively. Then you go out and you're lined up against Gudas, and I would just raise my head a little bit, note who's on right D, and say, man, I better keep my head up when I'm out here. Like, that was Scott Stevens, right? I would look up, and I'd see Stevens lined up with the left D, and he'd have that little smirk on his face. He'd be looking right at me, and I'd say, yeah, by the way, my controlled entry doesn't happen to be on your side of the ice, okay? And that's what Gudas does. And he's the spirit of him. You could see. So he misses almost the entire warm-up. And then comes out and lays two huge hits early in the game, and then gets crushed by Barbashev, just crushed. And the guys, you knew he was crushed because he didn't stop at the melee that broken out post. Yeah. He went straight to the bench, and it's the first invitation he's ever turned down since like that 1st of July party 4 years ago. Like he doesn't turn down invites. And so it's a big loss if he's not available to play.
All right. We'll perhaps find out more on that today. Game 3 goes tomorrow night in Florida with the Panthers down 2-0. Always appreciate the time and the insight, Pooley. Look forward to talking to you, I guess, on Friday. We'll know where the series is. Is it a series or is it about to become perhaps a Vegas sweep? We'll talk again on Friday. Thanks for the time this morning.
Enjoy the hockey. Enjoy the golf, gentlemen.